Now, some of you sitting there saying, no matter what the weapon is, you know I always lose. No way, man. We're winners. Last Sunday night, we were privileged to have all of the Aaron's Corps youth leaders and adult leaders in our home for a meeting and vision casting and prayer together, and it was awesome. And at the end, we were doing, you know, that thing where, you know, when you do this to somebody, that meant loser, you know, loser. But we changed it to say, I love you. And being that love is the acronym that explains the process of discipleship here at the church, loving God, one another, volunteering in the kingdom, evangelizing the world, we started doing this to each other, love. So I did that on Thursday night to somebody. I can't remember who it was. I think they were from Fusion. And they went back to me and they gave me another L like this, and they put them together and they said, no matter what the weapon is, I want you to know I win. I said, that's a W. So, you know, hey, love on you, baby. You're a winner. So everybody's got these, you know, all that stuff. Well, we've got ours too. Amen. Love, love, win. You say, well, I don't like hand signals. Well, those are better than the other ones we get on the highway. Amen. Praise God. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. Turn around. First row, turn around behind you. Second row, turn in front of you. Third row behind you. Fourth row in front of you. You say, but I don't know what row I'm in. Well, that's all right. Just look at somebody. Shake their hand. Say, I love you in the Lord and you're a winner. Amen. Come on. Tell somebody. Glory to God. How many know the church, the gathering of the church, ought to be the most exciting and fun place to be on the planet? It ought to be the place where you feel the most accepted and loved, regardless of your past, your present, or even your future. It ought to be the place where you can just get your praise on. Amen? If you can't get your praise on here, good night. It's pretty tough out there. Because sometimes you feel all alone and isolated, and the enemy likes to isolate you through circumstances and conditions, and you almost begin to believe that that's what you are based on what you see. But that's why we need to be touched here and stirred up and reminded that no matter what the weapon is, I want you to know I win. Amen. Thank you, Micah, for that. Thank you, worship team, for helping us out this morning and bringing us into the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Two things before I open up the Word in John chapter 15. Number one is I'm going to make a request this morning, and here's my request. I'm going to request that everybody make a point to stay for at least, you know, 30 minutes, an hour, for the church picnic next week. We're not going to a big, huge park. We're not going to Geauga Lake. We're not going to do all that. It's going to be right behind our facility, and the purpose is not to go to some place where we can just scatter and have a bunch of fun. It's to be together. And I'm just making a request that you'll take the time to be a part of that, because it's so important to connect with other people in the kingdom of God. And right now, things are going well in America. You know, we're relatively at ease. We've had some terrorist threats and all those things, but we're at peace. Our military, of course, is in harm's way there in Iraq, Afghanistan, around the world. But generally speaking, you know, we can pretty much go where we want to go and do what we want to do. And I thank God for that. And maybe we don't feel a need for the body of Christ for survival. But in the natural, if we were to come under attack, or there would be some national crisis, we'd be looking for help. And if government agency can't help us, and the local government is in disarray, I believe the church, through its unity under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, will be a source of resource for those that walk in the kingdom. So I think it's better to get connected now than if something like that were to occur. We go, oh, let's see, what are their names again? I know I saw them in church, but they live right down. I think they lived. Where are they? What's their number? I mean, we need to get together. We need to pray, but I can't find anybody to pray. See, we don't really feel the urgency to be together. But the Bible says, where two or three agree touching anything, it shall be done. Psalm 133 says, where the unity of the brethren exists, there God commands the blessing. So this is an opportunity for more than just to have a hot dog or hamburger. And we're going to provide all the meat anyway, so all you got to do is bring the little, you know, frill stuff and just come out and enjoy each other's presence. Can I get you to do that next week? And then secondly, this is going to be a request. My wife and I were talking about on the way to church. I know what the trends are in America. The trends are 60-minute services, and people want to get in and get out. And I can respect that. We've got a lot of things to do. But can we on Sunday just give God like 120 minutes where we say, you know what, we're going to church. We're going to bless the Lord. I'm coming there to get my praise on. I'm going to glorify God. And I just want to ask you, look, we start at 10. And I'd love to see people here at 9:30 for intercessory prayer. I mean, we're talking about the creator of heaven and earth. And, you know, it would be awesome. I would feel so encouraged that when I leave the foyer from shaking hands at 10 or 5 after, that when I walk in here, the place is as full as it is when I get up to preach. But most of the time, you know, half at least aren't even here yet. And I know there's things that you've got to do, and it, you know, you got to put kids together and all that. But can we make an effort as a church to just honor the Lord on His day and be on time to celebrate the Lord? Amen? So I'm asking for your help in this. Let's make a statement. Let's get filled with the anticipation of what God is going to do. And I know it's not just here. It's every church. I talk to pastors, and they say, well, you know, the people show up about 30 minutes later and all that. And I'm thinking, you know, this is Jesus we're talking about. This isn't some, you know, rock concert or whatever. But I was in Cleveland the other day. I was down there taking our missionary. He wanted to see the stuff downtown and Friday. And the Yankees were in town, and it was like, I think it was like 4:15, 4:30, and we were going to get out of downtown to take him and then us to go. We had a commitment Friday night. And we were driving through downtown by 9th Street, and there were people parking for the Indians game. This was at 4:30. The game doesn't start till 7:05. I thought, what are they doing here at 4:30? Because they want to get a good parking place. They want to get a seat, and they want to get a hot dog and get a hat and get a shirt that says Cleveland on it and all those things. I think, Jesus, can you make our church like that? Where people are like excited on Sunday morning to be in the house of the Lord. And so I'm just making a plea to come together and let's make a statement to this community that the church hasn't even started yet. And like camp meeting, you know, when we had camp meeting and we'd have T.D. Jakes here, people would start showing up at 4 o'clock, you know. And they would wait at the doors and they'd be out there singing and praising the Lord. And before 7 o'clock came when we started the service, it was so full you didn't have even a seat left. And I think, Lord, okay, there's a celebrity preacher. Everybody hears T.D. Jakes. They love the way he preaches. He's on TV, or Rod Parsley, all those people. And now, don't respond, but I'm just going to say this. Look, I am not a T.D. Jakes. I'm not a Rod Parsley. And I know that it's just me, and I'm here every week. And I'm not saying to come to hear me, but I'm saying let's come here to honor Jesus. So on Sunday morning, we make a statement to the church when they say, my goodness, that place is packed, and church hasn't even started yet. That's because they're hungry for the presence of God. Amen? And we teach our children something as well. We teach our children that we come to church on time. We don't come in late, and we don't just kind of straggle in. And we come because we're filled with the expectancy of the Lord. So I said that as gently as I can, and I hope that you'll take advantage of it. I'm not scolding you by any means. Listen, we're going to start with or without you. It doesn't matter, because I've learned a long time ago, if you wait for people, our church service would be like at 11 o'clock. And then we start at 11, it'll eventually get down to 11:30 or 12. So we don't want to do that. I used to fellowship and minister with a pastor who did that. He would wait till people got there. And I thought, I'll never do that. At 10 o'clock, let's start up. There's 20 of us here. Let's just have church and begin to worship Jesus. John chapter 15.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Did you bring a Bible this morning? All right, John chapter 15. I'm the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, if you can just focus in on that verse, He says, if they bear fruit, I'm going to cut them. I'm going to cut them back so they'll bear more fruit. In that one verse, there's a lot of pain in that one verse. Because everybody really doesn't look forward to the cutting back in our lives. But he said, everybody that bears fruit, I'm going to cut them back because I want them to bear more fruit. He also says, everybody that doesn't bear any fruit, I'm going to cut them off or I'm going to take them away. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me. Everybody say, abide in me. And I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So now we understand the foundation of bearing fruit is in the abiding principle. We cannot bear fruit unless we abide in the vine. So he tells us through an outline in these scriptures the importance or the commandment to bear fruit. It's not an option. It is commanded of the Lord. Then he tells us in the next verse how to bear fruit. You have to abide in me in order for fruit to come forth. I am the vine, verse 5, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Now he goes on to say, listen, abiding is good, but I just want to get this down. You cannot do anything in the kingdom of God without this connection. It can't happen. So he's really, really, really laying down the parameters for growth in the kingdom of God. Then he goes on to verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather him and they throw him into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me, there it goes again. My words abide in you. You will ask for whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. Now this is an incredible verse. He says, listen, if you get this abiding thing down, not only will you bear fruit, but you can ask me anything you want and I'm going to do it for you. Now if we could catch that, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. If we could catch that, that means anything I ask, God's going to do it for me. But don't get too happy. This is not a carnival. This is not a lottery. This is not a slot machine. Because it's all predicated on the fact that we have to abide in Jesus. So if we're abiding in him, we're not going to be asking for stuff that doesn't pertain to the kingdom or build the kingdom. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. Now Jesus did not call us to be cut off. He didn't call us to take us away. He called us to abide in him. Now, the principle of abiding means to dwell, means to stay, means to continue or be connected. So understanding those verses, I've got to put in my mind that to abide in God, I have to continue and dwell in that relationship. And the moment that I cut myself off from that, my fruit will wither. That's why it was important that Jesus go away, that he would send what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what causes or the connection to take place between God and us. It is the abiding principle. It is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that causes the continuation or the connection between the branch and the vine. I believe that purpose, true purpose in life, is found in the abiding principle. I don't believe a person can find their true purpose in life apart from abiding in God. Now, let's look at this definition, to abide. It means to follow. To follow the example of Jesus Christ and the life that he led in obedience to the will of God. That's what it means to abide. So if I'm going to abide in the vine, I have to get in my mind, I have to follow the lifestyle of Jesus Christ and his example of being totally sold out and obedient to the will of his Father. That's what abiding is. So if I'm doing anything less than that, if I'm not in the level of obedience of following the example of Jesus 100%, I mean, I'm aligning myself, I'm doing everything I can to become functional in my day-to-day activity the way Jesus would have lived his life, then I'm not abiding. So now I have to understand, man, I've got to press in. I've got to figure this out. I've got to get an example into my heart as to how Jesus lived so that I can walk that same obedient lifestyle. In other words, I got to contact the Father. I've got to connect through the Holy Spirit and say, Father, if this is your will, I'm only going to do it if it's your will. If it's not your will, I'm not going to do it. See, Jesus had that same principle in his mind. Even in the garden, he said, if this is your will, all right, I'm going to do it. Not my will, but thine be done. He says, I don't do a thing, but that the Father first speak it to me. If he hasn't spoken to me, I don't engage it. I've got to walk this way of intimacy with him because I am wanting to bear much fruit. How many know that Jesus was the first fruits? Jesus was the first fruits. Hallelujah. And you and I, glory to God, look at us around here. Just come on, look around. We are the much fruit of the obedience of Christ's connection to the Father. And as a result, he was able to bear much fruit. Now believe me, ladies and gentlemen, he was also pruned. He was also cut back. He was crucified. And as a result, buried. And third day, raised again. And it says that his life can be our life, according to Romans chapter 6. And we're buried through baptism unto death. But the new life of Christ is in us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will dwell in you, and it will quicken or make alive your mortal body so that you and I can operate in much fruit mentality. So if you have one single day left on earth, how many believe you have at least one more single day on this earth? Okay, the rest of you, I mean, look, where are you going? Let me ask that question one more time. How many believe they have one more single day left on this planet? Glory to God. By faith, amen. If you have one more single day left on earth, you can be used historically for the kingdom of God if you'll abide in him. I don't believe that there was any of the greats in our past that had any more anointing than that's available to us. I don't believe they had more Bible knowledge. I don't think they had a track on the inside with God. I just think they discovered the secret of abiding. That's all. All the greats, Charles Spurgeon, Charles Finney, John Knox, any of them, any of the modern day greats in the kingdom of God, they're just individuals. They're just people. But they're able to historically make a mark in the kingdom of God because they've learned the principle of abiding. That tells me it levels the playing field. You don't have to have a great education. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have wealth. You don't have to have influence. You don't even have to have anybody know who you are. You can make a mark in this world for the kingdom of God that will never be erased simply by discovering the principle of abiding in Jesus. That tells me that I have the opportunity. Why let this opportunity go by? Why let it pass? I mean, there's not a person in here this morning that does not want to do something great for the kingdom of God. Amen? Everybody wants to make a mark. Everybody wants to do something for Jesus. So here's the mentality that has to be developed. A living beyond mentality. I've got to begin living beyond where I'm presently at. I've got to live beyond what I've ever done before. I've got to live beyond my dreams, my biggest dreams, my greatest dreams. I need to live beyond my expectations. I need to live beyond everything that I've ever accomplished in the past. I want to believe that God has more for me because the concept of salvation based on a mere belief that just God exists is an affront to the kingdom. It's an affront to God. You can't live your life just believing, I believe that he lives, I believe that he exists. Demons believe that. We've got to do more than that. We've got to put our belief in our connection. Our belief rests in our abiding. Our belief rests in that if we take our life and after the example of Christ and we formulate our life after his lifestyle of obedience, we've got to believe that. That's belief. It's to say, you know what? If I connect with God through the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus did, then I'm going to bear much fruit. And we abandon the traditions of men. We abandon the philosophies of this age. We abandon religious dogma. And we connect to the Holy Ghost and abide in God. And then we have the expectation that because we're walking in obedience, that we win. That all things work together for good. For those that love God and are called according to his purpose. That greater is he that is in me and he that is in the world. That my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I've got to believe that if God be for me, who can be against me? And I've got to believe that nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. Because I'm abiding. I'm sold out to the principle of abiding. I'm sold out to the principle of adapting or adaptation daily to the obedience of the will of God. This is the kingdom of God. This is believing in Jesus. Let me share with you this morning some keys that I believe are essential in abiding in the vine. We read in that text, first of all, that you bear fruit only if you abide. Now, the fruit that we're talking about, and in the few weeks we'll begin to actually break down and discover, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so in order for the fruit of the Holy Spirit to begin to manifest, we have to abide in Him. But fruit only comes. Fruit does not happen unless there is an abiding. Church, we can't do it psychologically. We can't do it religiously. We can't do it piously. We can't put on a show. You know how some people at church are like, oh, praise the Lord. How are you? God is so good. And you act like a devil at home. See, you know what I'm saying? Behind the scenes, you're cursing them. Behind the scenes, you're living a life that is just a rogue life. See, that's not the abiding principle. The abiding or the fruit that we want to see is something that exists even when you're hurting, even when you're sick, even when you have no money, even when everybody's abandoned you. You still, through tears and through sorrow, can lift your hands and say, I will bless the Lord forever. Oh, God, I'm dying inside, but I'll bless your holy name. It's that kind of faith that will rock this world. It's that kind of faith that will rock drug dealers and rock prostitution and rock those that are hung up in all kinds of vices of this world. It will rock religion. I feel it. It's like fire shut up in these old bones. I feel it. Say, what you feel, preacher? Let me tell you what I feel. See, this Friday I had to take Chevian and his wife, Anne, from South Africa. They wanted to see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All right, we go to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I'm walking through this place thinking, these people, no morals, no ethics, no values. Change the world! They've rocked the world! I said, oh God, right here in Cleveland. And he asked me the question, why is a Rock Hall of Fame of all the world in Cleveland? I said, well, because Alan Freed, a DJ, coined the term rock and roll on the radio. That's what I've heard. And then the Holy Ghost said, oh, let me tell you what I'm trying to say to the church in northeastern Ohio. I'm trying to speak to them prophetically through the natural, that if there can be a famed rock and roll hall, if there can be a place that music has rocked the world literally, and they put people, categorize them, put them around glass, and they memorialize them, and they say, this person like Janis Joplin, she didn't care what you thought. Jimi Hendrix rocked the world. This man created this. This person did that. How much more the church that we can have a rock and roll. In other words, we can rock the world, and we can cause the devil's head to roll. We can be the church in this house and in this region. Somebody look at somebody and give them a high five. Now don't get nervous. Don't get nervous because I'm going to tell you to do it again. I'm going to tell you to do it again, but through this prophetic word, what I just told you, I want them to give you a high five again and say, I love rock and roll. See, you're scared to do it, aren't you? Because you're still thinking it's the secular stuff. I love to rock this world. I like to see the devil's head roll. Oh, you hear that about that preacher over in Lorraine? Yeah, he's promoting rock and roll. I love living on the edge. I love when people misinterpret me because I'm speaking on the edge of the prophetic of what God's wanting to do in a region. And then they start blaming me and pointing fingers at me. Let me tell you something. There is a group. There is a remnant. There are people who are constantly abiding in the Holy Ghost, who are doing the will of God and who are beginning to bear much fruit. And let me tell you, we're about to rock the world. We're about to cause the devil to roll. We're about to bring demons and strongholds down. Hallelujah! Come on, lift your hands up and praise Him with me. Shout hallelujah! Shout glory! Hallelujah! Secondly, there is no fruit if there is no abiding. Everybody say that with me. No fruit if there is no abiding. Say it again. No fruit if there's no abiding. Number three, expect to be pruned. Look at your neighbor and say, clip, clip, clip. Listen, that's the kind way. Clip, clip, clip. Yeah, yeah. You got that right. You're preaching now. Come up here, help me. Clip, clip, clip is nice. It's a nice word for chop, chop, chop. I remember some of the years of my early chopping experiences with God. I thought, God, don't you love me? Why would you hurt me like this? Why would I feel so deserted and abandoned? I mean, you've got to be kidding me. I'm serving you. Chop, chop, chop. I may remember Tommy Tenney here not long ago in April. He came up here and tore up a tree. I got a tree up here, but I'm not going to tear it up. You know, the Atlanta Braves and the Florida Gators. When they're after you, they're going, we're going to chop you, we're going to chop you. Come on, everybody, just kind of stand up. No, we're not going to chop the devil's head. We're going to chop, God's going to chop you. Come on. Da, 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 woo, da, 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 da. Look at somebody and say, he's coming to chop you back. You can be seated. Number four, fruit is proof that you are abiding. Number five, no fruit, cut off. But I like this one. If you abide in me and I in you, you can ask anything. And it shall be granted unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. It shall be granted unto you. Here's the question this morning. Are you in spiritual jeopardy? Are you in spiritual jeopardy? You and I, standing in this place this morning, thinking all is well, thinking all is secure, thinking that everything is all right, but yet may be in eternal jeopardy. When I showed up in that meeting that day, I was so distraught. I was so near depression at the bottom of experiencing. I've never had such pain in my life. I could hardly drive from the tears that were flowing down my face. And when I came in late and sat down in that service where that preacher was preaching, I felt like my whole world has fallen apart. Everybody has forsaken me. Everybody was walking out on me. My denomination was falsely accusing me. I felt like, what in the world did I do to deserve this, God? I don't deserve this. I just want you to know I don't. And he's preaching away on John 15. And he gets to the point of cutting back. Chop, chop. And by that time, I was so overcome with tears. My face was quivering, contorting, snotting, uncontrollable crying. I was embarrassed. I was so broken. I must have been made a fool out of myself or something, because he stopped preaching and came to me and prophesied. And say, because of your pain, because of what you've endured, but because you stayed in the pot, you've stayed in your ground, you've stayed connected, you can ask anything you will, and God will give it to you. That preacher was T.D. Jakes. And he prophesied to me and said, this is a cutting back because God has planned much fruit for you in your future. But it will not come in the way that you think it will come. It will come through sorrow and hardship and desertion. It will come through false accusation, and it will come through misunderstanding. It will come when you think you have nothing left, but God has a plan. And don't back up and don't become discouraged, because he said he's got a plan for your life. And I said, oh God, I don't know that I want to go through this plan. It hurts too much. And I asked. And the thing I asked for was to establish an undeniable testimony of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in Northeastern Ohio and around the world. God, that's what I want. I want to establish a testimony when people come together, and under the auspices of this ministry, one thing that stands out is that people aren't playing church. They're not just going to church. They are the church. They are walking under lordship, under the shadow of the Almighty God. They are people that mean business, even through their tears and even through the jeers, even through the sorrows and even through the trouble. They will stand and bless the Lord. God, I want that kind of church. I want to hang out with those kind of people. I want to raise up that kind of a testimony in Northeastern Ohio and around the world. And church, I want you to know I'm here today. It's been 20 years. It's been 15 years. It's been 5 years. Nothing has happened. Well, that's all right, because I still believe that God is about to cause the fruit to come forth, and not just a little bit of fruit, but much fruit that will impact this world. Are you ready to bear much fruit for God? If you are, shout hallelujah. Has interest in the temporal eclipsed interest of the eternal? One of the first choruses I ever learned that impacted my life, I'll never forget it. It so moved me. A simple chorus that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I said, God, if it's true, oh God. The key is in the turning. The key is in the turning. The key is focusing on the eternal and no longer allowing the temporal to eclipse the eternal promises of God in your life. To focus beyond where you are. To live beyond whatever you've experienced with God before. Oh, there's a Holy Spirit moment right now. You'll lift your hand with me and just tell Jesus, Lord, I'm ready to turn my attention upon you. I want to turn my eyes upon Jesus. Come on, sing it with me. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. One more time. I'm going to do it. I'm going to turn my eyes upon Jesus. I'm going to look full in his wonderful face. All the things of this world and the things of the earth shall grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. devoted to you, Jesus. I'm devoted to you to give you or apply all my attention, my time, my energy completely to kingdom activity. I'm talking about pure devotion to God. Do you want to have it? Do you want to live it? Do you want to have that flow of the vine into your life? Do you want to have that pure devotion where God is Lord over everything of your life? You see, ladies and gentlemen, John chapter 8 depicts it so beautifully in verses 31 and 32. And Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Can I make an appeal to us this morning? We wanted freedom by knowing God's word. And that's good, but that's only half the truth. Church, where have we gone? What have we done? How have we sold this gospel so cheaply? How have we peddled it off in great crusade halls and mammoth sanctuaries? When Jesus said, "My word abides in you, and you abide in me, then you are my disciple. And when you know the truth will set you free." We want freedom without abiding. It doesn't happen that way. And why in record numbers are people turning their back on the church? Why do people say, "You know what? I've had enough of this kingdom thing. It doesn't work. It doesn't work." Jesus is "I think I'll go to my church Sunday." Oh, no, no, it doesn't happen on Sunday. It happens on Tuesday afternoon about 4 o'clock when the phone call rings. The doctor says, "Well, we read your report and we need some more tests." God, why would you allow that to happen? I'm a man of faith. I walk in covenant. Then walk, baby. And he begins to look for the fruit and he says, "Oh, my, 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 my. Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Woo! Uh-oh. And he looks at that fruit and he said, "Ah. Oh, looky here." What? Where's that fruit? You know how it grieves the heart of Jesus to come and look at his church, walk among his candlesticks, and, "All right, God, although the branch may not be present," how many know that when a branch breaks off or is cut off, there's still life up under that bark? Here's what we've done. Let me know what this is. It's a stick. You wouldn't call it a branch, would you? A branch is transformed from a branch to a stick when it's cut off. However, notice it has the appearance of a branch. But what's missing? Life. So all through the church houses in America, "Hello, Deacon Stick. Glad you're here today. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Smith Stick. We're glad you're here today. Thank you so much for coming to our church. and I get to meet another pastor and say, guess what? My church was full this Sunday. We had to bring out chairs. Why, there were so many sticks in there. Now, we don't say that. Because we've interpreted sticks as being branches. And the facts are that they're brittle, and all they're good for is the fire. Oh, don't make me be a stick, God. Don't let me be cut off from the vine. Let the Holy Ghost flow through my life. Keep me, oh God, in the position, oh Father, where the sap, where the Holy Ghost flows through my life. I don't want to have the appearance without the substance. I don't want you to call me pastor without the function or the unction in the function. Don't call me deacon unless I have the unction flowing through me. Don't call me a man of God . I want the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. What grieves me the most in my life now is not the things that used to grieve me. It's gotten personal. It's really strange. Friday, we're driving around downtown, and I'm relying on my wife for directions because I don't know where I'm at when I'm in downtown Cleveland. And we ended up going to a weird place, and I don't know where we were at, and I was getting frustrated. And the Holy Spirit was looking for some fruit called patience. I said, God, I know it's here somewhere. Let's see. Here it is, God. A little late now, boy. And gently, my wife reminded me. Yesterday, we were just talking, and she's just, you know, good at that. She just kind of slips it in and says, you know, you really hurt me when you responded the way you did in the car. And we went on to talk about something. I was totally unrelated. She's just like, sucker punched me, man. Just, no, it was gentle. But the Holy Ghost in me was grieved. I said, God, I blew it. I missed my opportunity for fruit. Purge me, God. Cause me to grow in this area. God, how did that happen? How did I slip up? My focus today, your focus today needs to be on bearing much fruit. Can you say amen? You see, living in a kingdom simply cannot be shaken, regardless of what it happens in this world. I live in a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and I can't focus just on the fruit because that'll become religious. See, if you and I, all we do is focus on the fruit, we become phony.
Praise the Lord. Oh, that's okay. It's not a problem.
Then you go home and you cuss me. If we focus on the fruit, we get religious. But if we focus on abiding, we get pure devotion to God. Pure devotion to God. Pure devotion to Him. If we're focused not on the fruit, I'm not focused on that which is on the outside. I got to put the emphasis where it really belongs, on my connection with God. Are you going to be an abider? Are you going to be an abider? Be an abider for the rest of your life. Be an abider. Say, God, my priority is to abide in you, is to do the will of God just the way Jesus did it. I want to do it, Father. I want to be connected to you. I want to respond in every situation, regardless of the pressure, regardless of the majority of opinion, regardless of what other people are doing and saying to me. I want to respond the way Jesus would have responded. And even as he hung on the cross and he declared, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I would have hung on the cross and said, Father, send them to the deepest hell. I want to live like that. It's my goal. If I've got one day left on this earth, I want to live that way. I want to historically make a mark on the kingdom of God. I want to rock this world. I want to see the devil's head roll. I want to see this place, this region become famous for a true church, a mighty church, a Holy Ghost church, a church that is filled with the power of God and that will rock the world around it. James. You and I have to rock the world. It's time that this world stand up and take notice that there is a true church here. See, no other factor, including our education, where we were born, what we know, how much money we have, how much money we don't have, can even come close to the influence that we can have on true success of our lives and the true success of a region. And I want to say to you this morning that any Christian can be a champion of the faith. Any Christian can be a champion of the faith. It matters not how disadvantaged you may think you are. Regardless of all your circumstances, you can become the greatest faith champion in the world. Because stop measuring yourself based on the standards and definitions of success of this age and of the church age. This pop church culture is not the kingdom of God. I don't care how close it comes. I don't care how good it sounds. Don't get swept up. Be a champion. Be totally devoted. Be totally committed to bearing fruit in your life. Any Christian on earth has a chance to become the Lord's best friend on the earth. Are you wanting to be his best friend? I want to walk with him. I want to talk with him. I want him to know me. I want to be the best friend of God. And I know that if I'm his best friend, I'll be your best friend. Because Jesus said, if you say you love God, whom you can't see, and you can't love your brother, whom you do see, the truth is not in you. You're a liar. And I said, God, I don't want to have prejudice against men or women. I don't want to have prejudice against people based on culture or creed, based on economics. I don't want to have prejudice just because somebody looks different than I do or speaks different. I don't want to have an elevated standard in my life thinking I'm better than somebody else just because they have no shoes or they live in abject poverty or they can't speak English or they can't drive what I drive. I don't want to look at other people as inferior or inferior in faith just because they don't wear diamond rings or have a Rolex watch or have an airplane in the hangar. Listen to me. We've got to stop this defining of successful Christianity by what we have on the exterior and start looking for that which is deposited on the interior. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that God is looking for. Come on, give God praise in here. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. And so I'm asking us this morning to be committed to raise up a house, raise up a ministry, raise up a people that we can go every place we go. Our message doesn't change. Every time we open up the Bible, it doesn't alter. Every time our mouth opens up, there's not another phrase that's foreign to the devotion of our heart. It's all about the kingdom of God. It's all about walking in obedience after the will of our Father, just like Jesus did. It is the message. It is the rock and roll message of the kingdom of God that this fame will grow throughout this land and people will rise up and take notice that this is not Christianity as it has been. I remember reading the Gospels and Jesus coming in and rocking the world of the Pharisees and causing the Sadducees to look and say, oh, this man is not like these. He speaks with such authority. He speaks with such power. He speaks with such love. Oh, did you see his eyes? Even though those were about to condemn me, even though I was possessed by 7 demons, he had great compassion on me. This man is different. Who is this man? I pray to God that this church, that the church will be like their Savior when the world would say, this is not like church that I've been to before. This is not like Christianity I've ever experienced before. My God, this is real. My Lord, they speak with authority. They speak with power. And they have the love of the Holy Ghost operating in their life. Church, do you want to be that kind of church? This morning, we can be. It's totally dependent upon our devotion to Him. Help me. Help me do it. Help me establish. I can't do it alone. I can only do what my own life sphere of influence will do. I need you. I need your anointing. I need your love and your fruit. We need to come together and not become just one tree or two trees. We need to become a vineyard. We need to become a vineyard of God's presence and glory in this region. And how do we do that? By being devoted to the things of God. We do that too by understanding that we can't do this without money. We can't do this without offerings and tithe. It doesn't happen. It's part of the principle of functioning in this world. Even though we're a church and we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, Ohio Edison doesn't care. They want their money every month. I can get a loan for this property, but they don't care that we're a church. They still want to charge us interest, and they want their payment every month. And if we don't pay it, they're going to foreclose. Do you understand? It's not my kingdom. It's their kingdom. But we're in their kingdom, but we're not of their kingdom. But help us to establish a wall of defense around the intrusion of that kingdom that says we'll shut your lights off. We'll take away your building. We'll begin to impound all of your assets. Why? Because there's no money to pay for those things that we have need of in order to preach this gospel. That's why we receive the tithe and the offering. That's the only reason. So help us today to build a defense around the intrusions of this world. I told my wife the other day, it seems like the whole system is set up to take everything you've got. It seems like the whole system is set up to steal your money. Overcharging you for appliances that probably cost half of it. Sending you something through the mail that they promise you on TV and the thing doesn't work. Buying insurance you'll never need. But when they're in front of you, they'll scare you half out of your life just so that you will buy it. Not all of them are like that. You make an investment so that you can somehow have something for your family and they steal you blind. They give you a loan and then they charge you a compound interest over it. So it takes you 10 years to pay off $3,000. Everything in this world is tied to taking what you have. And I said, you know, Tina, sometimes it feels like you live around a bunch of thieves and robbers. And only they've been licensed and legalized to do it. They don't have to use guns and knives. And I'm not speaking sour grapes. I'm just telling you that's the way it seems it is. And I understand many of you have been through hard times financially. I understand that. My family and I, we are not any different. But there's one thing that I'm going to do. I'm going to build a wall of defense around this ministry that we're going to preach this gospel around the world. Whether it's in the United Kingdom or whether it's in Africa or whether it's in Asia, whether it's in South America, it doesn't matter. We're going to preach this thing. And we're going to send the gospel message out into this region in northeastern Ohio. And we're going to establish the kingdom of God to the best that we can possibly do. But I can't do it alone, and we need each other. And that's the only way it can be done. That's why we're receiving the tithe and offering. So the ushers are coming right now. We're going to receive it. If you're writing a check, simply put CNC, please. If you're giving a cash offering, the envelopes are there before you. And we're looking forward today to celebrating the fact that not only do we meet a budget, but we exceed a budget. Because of the generosity of God's people. Because there's pure devotion in this place that's simply rocking the world of the devil. That's what God's looking for. Thank you for your devotion. Thank you for your love. Thank you for sticking it in, sticking with me. Thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for standing in faith. Thank you for praying. Thank you for believing God with me. I've never done everything right and never will. But one thing for sure, I've got a passion for God. And I'm not going to stand here and say I'll never make a mistake. I've made a bunch of them. But I have a passion for God. So let's together build this kingdom. Amen? Come on, hold your offering up before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray your blessing to be upon us. We pray, oh God, that you would today change this world, rock this world. Let the demons' heads roll all over this place. And let us, oh Father, take our place rightfully as the church. As we bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning, you're not born again. At the end of this song that Ashley's going to sing, we're going to have altar ministers across this altar. We want you to come and let somebody pray with you. It's a simple prayer. It's a prayer of commitment to Christ. If you're backslidden, cold, and kind of estranged from God, recommit, reconnect. Baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, the power and the energy of God, it'll change your life. God's calling you to be a member of this house. We'd love to have you part of this family. You need healing in your body. Jesus still heals. And he's here today to do that. Our elders will be across the front of this room as well, ready to minister to you. But let's worship Jesus today. Because there ain't nobody like Jesus, amen? Come on, give Jesus a big hand. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Let's raise up a shout of praise in this house this morning.